after the Craig with us. How many of you remember, he used to be on staff here 6 years ago. You remember that? Remember that, okay? And several people here remember that. And so tonight, he is on vacation. And originally, his brother-in-law was supposed to be preaching in Blakely at Brother Sean's church. And he was going to try to come over here. And so they weren't able to be here. So his family is over there singing tonight. And he is here with us. And boy, it's a privilege and a blessing to have him. And I'll tell you this about him. Brother Craig is my friend, and he's a friend that I have, and he's somebody I can be encouraged by, but he's also somebody I can argue with every now and then, amen? And he is a friend to me, and he loves the Lord, and I tell you, he loves seeing people saved, and that's what God is using him for there in their church. He went to a church, and he's not going to tell you about it, so where he went to when he got there, they hadn't had people saved in, I think, 18 years, right? Something like that, 16, 18 years. And he has gotten there, his family, and they have begun serving the Lord and preaching the gospel. And they've had several people saved, just baptized two people 2 weeks ago. And so the Lord is using them, and we're honored tonight to have him with us. And I want you to help us make him feel welcome as he comes to preach for us.
Good to see a lot of familiar faces tonight, and I hope he said, do you remember? I hope you don't remember everything. So I was a little bit younger then, and I'm sure I made quite a few mistakes, still make a few here and there, but I appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight and to preach to you, and I see a lot of new faces as well. That's always a good thing, and we've got several that share in part there in Greensboro. Brother Dylan is actually going to be helping us. He's coming to my church to help us when he goes back to Bible college. He's going to be working with our youth and helping us during the school year. So you guys have been putting him through boot camp, and then he's going to help us when he gets to our church. And so we're excited about that. We're looking forward to Brother Dylan working with our children's church, our bus ministry, and really looking forward to that. But I will say this, it is good to be back at the great church of Sardis, Green Webb Church, and it's good to see you guys. And we appreciate the time that we were here and how good you were to us. My family is in Blakely, as he said, with Tandy's mom and dad, visiting with them. We were here to also see Grandpa Bevan, and we got to visit with him a little bit. We're going to see him tomorrow morning, Brother Elzo. And so we wanted to come by and see him. We just didn't know when we would be able to do that, and so with school starting back soon, Tamsin teaches at a Christian school in our area, we wanted to go ahead and get away and see them before school started back. So that's where they are. They're visiting over there, and then we'll be leaving tomorrow. We'll be visiting him in the morning, but it is great to be here with you tonight, and I want to just preach for a few minutes from the book of Acts. So if you find Acts 27, we're going to read one verse, but before we do, let me just give you a little bit of a setting of what's going on here in this chapter. Paul is in chains. He's a prisoner. And they're transporting him from one place to another. And before they get on the journey here, he tells the people that are driving the ship, he says, look, this traveling, this journey is not going to be good. There's going to be some problems. And they listen to the captains of the ship rather than listening to him. And so they get on the ship, and everything seems fine for a little while. But before you know it, the Bible says there's a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. It's a bad storm that comes up. And so the boat's being rocked back and forth. Water's probably coming in. They think they're going to die. The Bible said they didn't see the sunlight for several days. I mean, it was bad. And so they're throwing stuff out of the ship, trying to lighten the load, and before you know it, they end up being shipwrecked, and a lot of bad stuff's going on in this chapter. But I want to draw your attention, if I could, to verse 22. He said, now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. And he said, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, said,
it shall be even as it was told me. I want to preach tonight on this subject, some things believing brings. Some things that believing brings. What Paul was saying here was, I believe God. I believe what He told me. I have faith in what my God can do. And if we're going to have victory, and if we're going to be what God wants us to be, if the church is going to be what God wants us to be, we have got to be a people that believe God. Do you believe that tonight? We've got to believe God. There's going to be some things that God is going to tell Sardis to do. There's going to be some things that the Lord is going to lay on your pastor's heart. And there's going to be some things that God is going to impress in your life. And you may not understand it. And there may be some things that puzzle us. But we've got to ultimately, when it's all said and done, we've got to be a people that believe and trust in the Lord God Almighty. And know that God's in control. And He knows what He's doing. And He knows what He's doing in my life. So there's going to be some things that believing is going to bring. I want to show you just a few things here. But before I do, I want to remind you. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Christian life is not something that we always see everything that's coming. There's going to be some times we're going to have to walk purely by faith. And by the way, that's scary sometimes, isn't it? Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. George Mueller, a great man of faith, said, faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There's no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. We've got to be a people of faith. We've got to believe God. Paul said, I believe God. It may not look good, but I believe. I may not understand it, but I believe God. So what does believing bring in our life? I want to give you a few things tonight. I hope it'll help you. Number one, the most obvious thing is, number one, believing brings salvation. Now, I would hope on a Wednesday night, probably everybody or most people here tonight will say they're saved, but I do want to challenge you on one thing tonight a little bit and just give you a little bit of encouragement or challenge on this. But first of all, believing brings salvation to us. You know, you got to believe, you know that, to be saved. The Bible says in Romans 5:1, we're justified by faith. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Well, we know the Bible says that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. So it takes belief for us to be saved. And I was studying the other day about Abraham. The Bible said in Galatians 3:6, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. You see, in the Old Testament, they looked forward to the cross and trusted in what God was going to do for salvation. We simply, in the New Testament, look back to the cross and trust what God already did through the Lord Jesus Christ. But it was always, always, always by faith that people got saved and had righteousness in their life. So, you know, we have to believe to be saved. But here's the other side of that I want to give you tonight. You know, believing brings salvation to us, but number two, believing also brings salvation to others. You said, what do you mean, preacher? Well, in Mark chapter 2, Jesus is in the house. You know, great things happen when Jesus shows up. Amen. I want Jesus in the house. He showed up, and there was an overflow crowd. I mean, you couldn't get in the door. And the Bible said it was so many people there that you could not even walk in the door. That's a pretty good crowd. Well, these guys had this guy on a cot or a bed or a mattress. And the Bible said he had palsy and couldn't walk and he had a lot of physical problems and he wasn't saved. And these four men, there was one on each corner, they wanted to get this guy to Jesus. But there was a problem. They couldn't get in. And by the way, he's on a cot. He's on a bed. And if they can't even get a person through the door, you know they can't get a mattress. And so here they are. What are we going to do? We got to get this guy to Jesus. And they get on the roof. How'd you like to be in service and Brother Joe is preaching and you hear some scratching and all of a sudden a hole pokes through the roof and somebody starts lowering a person through the roof? I mean, we read this stuff and we're like, okay, but when you really think about it, it was kind of strange. And here's this guy being lowered. said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven me." That guy had to believe to get saved. I understand that, because you've got to make your own decision. But it was the faith of those friends that wanted to get him to Jesus that made this whole thing possible. You see, it was their faith. Here's what I want to ask you tonight. Do you have faith, Sardis Rebel Baptist Church, that God's going to save people? Do you have faith in your life? Do you have enough faith in your life to get somebody else down the aisle of Jesus? You see, God wants to use you. But he's going to use somebody that believes. He's going to use somebody of faith. He's going to use people that still believe God can use them to see souls saved. Hey, I'll tell you what believing does. Believing brings salvation. Robert and Mary Moffat were missionaries in Africa back in the 1800s. They went there and started a new work. They were there for a while, and I tell you, I'll be honest with you, I was reading the other day from their own words, they began, true story, they weren't having any fruit, they weren't having anybody saved, they were having a hard time getting people to even come to church. One of their friends back in England asked them through a letter and said, "Look, I want to send you a gift. What can I send you? What would be a blessing?" You know what Mary Moffat said? "Send us a communion set, because I think we're going to be needing it soon." They hadn't even had people hardly come to the church. I mean, this person said, "We need a communion set." Well, it was sometime later. I believe, if I remember, it was July of 1829. They had a church service, and God had been working. And this was sometime after this letter now, so some time had passed. And God had begun working, and they had a packed house that day. I mean, they were inviting people. People were coming. The Lord was working. The Spirit of God was moving. And when they got in that service, conviction fell. And before it was all over, six natives of one of those tribes, six people got saved in that service and were baptized. Now, here's what I thought was pretty awesome. The day before the service, Brother Joey, the communion set got there in the mail. The day before. And I thought, man, what faith? Nobody was being saved. Nobody would even come to church. They couldn't draw a crowd. And nothing seemed encouraging. And yet somebody had enough faith to say, "Send us a communion set." Because God's going to be saved. Have enough faith to see somebody else get saved? Number two, believing brings salvation. Number two, believing brings blessings. You know what? God wants to bless you. God wants to bless his people. But here's what's going to happen. He's going to bless the people that take him at his word. He's going to bless the people that believe him. He's going to bless the people that step forward in obedience and in faith and trust him and hold to his hand and keep their eyes on Jesus. That's the ones he's really going to bless. See, believing brings blessings. Hebrews 11, verse 6. "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You know what God does? He rewards those that seek his face. He blesses those who have faith. You remember Job? Job went through so much. I mean, it blows my mind what Job went through. I mean, he lost all his children. He lost all his money. He lost all his livestock. Job went from being the richest man in the land to the poorest man in the land in just a day, and he lost it all, and yet he still clung to his faith. I mean, he lost his health. He lost everything. Job walked with God. Job would burn incense and go to the altar for his children. And Job was the priest of his home. And Job would look. He loved his family. And he loved God. Job lost it all. But when you get to chapter 42, you get to that last chapter, and you read about what the Bible says in verse 10, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends." Watch this. "And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." God was faithful to Job. Why? Because Job was faithful to God. God blesses his people. people of Judah. And Jehoshaphat was a godly king. He was trying to do the best he could, but when he heard that these nations were coming against him, he was afraid. And he proclaimed a fast, and he started to pray. He got the people together, and he said, we need to get together, we need to pray, we need to fast. And here's what he prayed, and I'm giving you the bottom line of the summary. He said, God, those people are mighty, and we are not. We cannot beat them. So here's what we do. We can't do it without you. Our eyes are on you, Lord. That's what he said. We're dependent on you. Lord, you're almighty God. You're the mighty God. You've got power. We have none. We're dependent on you. You know, that's exactly what we need to say in our life. Lord, I have no power. I'm looking at you, Lord. Right. You know, God sent one of the prophets, and they came to him, and they said, look, God, let me tell you, this thing's under control. God's going to smite every one of them. We're going to win the battle. So he goes to the people and he says, look, in fact, I'll read it to you. He says in verse 20, he says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. You know what God said? Listen to the man of God. Listen to the word of God. Listen to what I'm telling you. Believe, you'll be established. You're okay. You know what the Bible said? I was reading this out when I got here. I stayed in the van a little bit and was looking over that chapter. I didn't notice this the other day when I preached it at Sharon Park. It said they were smitten, and it also can be translated, they smote each other. What happened was, these people were getting ready to fight against the Judahites, and God turned them against each other, kind of like with Gideon and his 300 little men, and those guys turned on each other, Midianites. God allowed them to smite each other in confusion and totally wiped them out. Gave them victory. But you know what Jehoshaphat had to come to? In his own mind and his heart. Lord, I'm leaving it in your hands and I believe in you for this. Amen. See, we gotta believe in him for the victory. Let me just give you a couple things and I'm done. I'm finished. Believing will make you usable for God's service. Right. You see, God wants to use you. God wants to use you. God uses people. God uses people and he wants to use you. But here's the thing. He's going to use people that trust him. He's going to use people that walk with him. He's going to use people that have faith. He's going to use people that believe he can still do the great and mighty things. See, the Bible said in Matthew chapter 21, in verse 21, Jesus said, look, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but if you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea. It shall be done, he said in verse 22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Now, does that mean you pray you're going to win Publishers Clearing House, get $5 million, and you go to your mailbox, and there it is? No, I've tried that one. It doesn't work. I've been praying that for years, but it never did work. I pray, Lord, give me a Corvette. I've not yet had one. But you know what? That's not what that means. See, that's praying, selfish prayers and prayers that are about, that's not what that means. You don't have a name it, claim it, pray whatever you want, man. If you just believe enough, no, that's not what that says. But if you will pray in faith, if you will pray according to God's will, and if you will pray without selfishness, God's going to answer your prayer. Now, it may be a yes, it may be a no, it may be a wait. But God will answer prayer. God answers prayer. It may not be what we want. It may not be the answer we like. My children ask stuff of me all the time, and they don't like it when I tell them no. They don't like it, but I answer them, then no. But God answers prayer. But you know, God wants to use people. God wants to do something great. God wants to answer your prayer. God wants to use you to be a blessing to somebody else. God wants to use you to glorify him. God wants to use you in this church. God wants to use us. But he's going to use people of faith. Hey, when God wanted an art bill, who did he go to? The drunk on the street? The drug addict? The person who was in the flopping in and out of church? No. You know who he went to? He went to a man named Noah. The Bible says Noah walked with God. He chose the person who was close to the Lord. He used him to prepare an ark. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not as yet seen, was moved with fear, and he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. When you read about Joseph, see the walls come down, you want to have victory, if you want God to bless you, you want to see God use you, and you want to lead people to Christ, and you want God to do great things in your life, you've got to have faith. These people had faith. We've got to have faith. Do you know the African Impala is an amazing creature? This Impala can jump 10 feet high. And when it jumps, it can cover a distance of 30 feet. That's how far that thing is. But do you know, I was reading earlier today, do you know church, and Brother Joey said, hey, we got to fill this void, or maybe there's a financial decision you've got to make personally, or maybe there's a job situation, or I don't know. Whatever your situation is tonight, maybe God has spoken to you, and there's something God wants you to do. Do you believe it? Do you have faith? See, a lot of good things happen to people that walk by faith. Believing brings these things. Would you bow your head with me for just a moment? I'm going to turn the circle.